John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Just two verses. John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, as we are beginning our journey through this gospel. Chapter 1 and two verses. If you're able to stand, would you do that, please? Let's honor God as I read His word audibly, and you contemplate these truths as I read them. Verse 12, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Amen. Our Father, would you meet us now in the Scriptures and bring real light and understanding to the Scriptures. Help us to unpack them and to see the benefit of understanding basic teaching for your glory, for the good of our own soul, and the progress of the kingdom of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. And so we are continuing on with this study today. Our subject matter again will be the Word became flesh. You might remember from last week we saw that as God, Jesus eternally existed as the Word, right? Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. We saw that as God, He's the creator of all things. Nothing that is in existence is here apart from Jesus Christ. It is, it's just difficult to get your mind. We can't really fathom what it was like for God to exist before anything. But before anything was, God says what? I am. That's the eternal existence of God. You can't describe Him any more than that. I am. I exist. I have no creator, no author, no beginning, no end, right? Jesus, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, the beginning, the end, right? And so He is the creator of all things. We saw in verses 4 and 5, as God, He's the source of life and light for all of humanity, okay? He's that source. He gives that life and light to everything that exists. We saw in verse 14 that as man, He was incarnate. What does that mean? The Word was God, okay? But the Word became flesh. So the Word, Jesus humbled Himself. He laid aside His glory, all of that immaculate glory that He had in eternity past. He humbled Himself and allowed Himself to be conceived in a woman. God allowed Himself to be conceived in a woman and then followed the normal birth process. This is staggering. But He did it so that He could identify with us, and we could identify with Him. He's a sympathetic, what? High priest. And so He became incarnate. We saw in verses 6 and 8, 6, 7, and 8, that John the Baptist was a faithful witness for Christ. He came to bear witness of who He is. Why? Because when you've got someone this phenomenal coming, he needs to be introduced. And even though he was introduced so wonderfully, they still didn't believe him. But he still was a what? Faithful witness. That's encouragement to you and I, my brother, my sister. All you can do is tell people the truth. If they don't believe you, just make sure you've told them the truth. Yes? So I say to you young people, even when you tell people the truth about becoming a Christian, I can tell you this for sure. Many of them are not going to believe you. Don't be discouraged by that. Stay with the truth. John the Baptist rested on the fact that he told the truth about Jesus, even though most people didn't believe him. And then we saw in verses 9 through 13 that the redemptive work of Christ was revealed in saving sinners. So today, what I want to do is to look at these two thoughts, becoming children of God and being born again. Being children of God and being born again. So let's start with children of God. You know, can you go back to verse 12? You notice in verse 12, It says, but to all who did receive him. So here's the first thing that we have to consider, this matter of receiving Jesus. Many did not receive him. You got your Bible? Look at verse 11. You got verse 11? He came to his own, and his own people, what? Did not receive him. Many did not, but thank God some did, okay? So thank God that the Bible doesn't end there. Many did not receive Jesus. That's the reason verse 12 starts with that, and as one old theologian said, that effective monosyllabic but. The buts are incredible in Scripture. The buts are what give us hope. Many didn't receive him, but, hallelujah, to all. You get that? To all who did receive him. That's how you and I got in. Many in our own families did not receive him, but you did. Thank God for that. Many are around you, many in your neighborhood. Matter of fact, in your neighborhood like ours, the majority of people in our neighborhood don't receive him, but thank God you did. Many people on your job do not receive him, but thank God the but is there, but you did. Yes? And so to receive is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Why? Because Jesus came to offer himself and salvation as an unmerited gift. Isn't this wonderful? No one deserved Jesus. God gave Adam and Eve everything to be blessed and happy and filled with joy and purpose and fulfillment. And Adam and Eve turned their backs on it. Now, they turned their backs on God's best in the Garden of Eden. Walked away from it, and what did God do? He came and got them. Why? Because he loved them. This is love. This is love. For God so what? Loved the world. He so loved. He is motivated by love, not because we are lovely. Adam and Eve were not grateful people. They proved that they were what? Ungrateful. They were not faithful. They proved that they were what? Unfaithful. And all of the ugliness of that picture, but it says that God came to the garden and he says, Adam, he came to do the same. He came to fellowship with him just like he had in the past. So God came seeking him. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came to what? Seek and save the lost? And so Jesus came to offer himself and salvation as an unmerited gift. You know Ephesians 2:8, right? For by grace we have been saved through faith, right? This is not your own doing, but it is what? A gift. A gift from God. It's a gift. And so Jesus came to offer that wonderful gift to us. The word receive in the Greek, it's labano. And the word means, it's a real interesting word. It means to include in your own experience. You see? For example, birthday, Christmas time, whatever, you bring your children a gift. Now, you spent time selecting the right gift, and you know this is a gift that they could use and enjoy. You bring them the gift, you give it to them, they open it up, it captures their attention for about 10 minutes, and what? Then they move on to the next thing. Now, that's not the idea of receiving here. Receiving here means to take it and incorporate it in your life. Okay? This gift that I receive, I can use it when? Right now. And forever. It'll never be put aside. That's the whole idea of receiving here. I want to incorporate into my life, and it'll be in my life what? Forever. Christ in you is glory. Hallelujah. He's the hope of glory because he's in us, never to leave us. He said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. So appreciate me. I've come into your life to what? Stay. Receive him. You get it? Receive him. So it's those who receive him then that we're talking about. And so Jesus then must be included in a believer's life as divine authority. He has come, you remember, you believe Jesus as Lord, right? You accept him as Lord because you don't make him Lord when you accept him. You do realize that. You acknowledge that he what? He is already Lord. Okay? I hear people say, well, you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. What? He's Lord. You need to receive him as Lord. You can't make him Lord. Receive him as Lord. You can't make him any more Lord than he is. Yeah? And so that's the whole idea of receiving. Can you find at John 5, 43? Look at this. Jesus speaking here to his opponents. But I know that you do not have the love of God within you. Excuse me, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. You get it? In other words, he didn't say that you didn't come to meet with me. You didn't come. You remember, they loved to have dinner with Jesus. They loved to follow him around and eat, and they loved the miracles and all that. That's not what he's talking about, you see. That's like taking the gift and using it as long as it's beneficial to you. So, you see, you don't deceive Jesus by just hanging around. You get it? Verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. Look at that. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. You get it? Now, if a false teacher comes, think about it. Think about all of the mega gatherings today. And what they're looking for is toys that can benefit them. And we don't call them toys. We call them houses and cars and, you know. And I'll be quite honest with you. Health, all of it. It's stuff that will do what? Benefit me. For how long? That's just for this life. We've got to learn to, that's what the world does. The world wants things that'll make them happy in what? This life only. God says, I give to you what? Eternal life. He said that you're in the Father's hand and no one will ever take you out of his hand. Isn't this good? So this idea of receiving here is to receive into your life as your own experience. That one other verse there, can you turn to John 13? And I think it's verse 20. You got verse 20? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one that sent me. Okay? And so, again, it's the idea of receiving that person in your life. That's the reason I'm saying to us as a church, Christ has sent us each other. We need to receive each other as being sent by God. Amen. Not as long as it feels good. God has made us a church. He said, I appoint people in the church. Okay? And what does he say to Willie and every one of us? Willie, receive it. You see, that's the reason I don't try to build a church. That's Christ's business. He says, I will do what? Build my church. Willie, you just take care of the ones that I send. Come on, church. This is it. Receive the ones that I send. Stop waiting on the one that you like this way or the one that... No! Receive the one that I send. What? Incorporate them into your life. Get it? That's the whole idea of receiving. You know, we say we receive you as a member. That doesn't mean as long as I like you and you do what I function the way. See, that's the way children do with gifts. I receive you as a permanent part of me. This is not a game. We're about to move into another phase, and we got to get serious. When Jesus saved someone, he's serious.
Amen.
This is not a game. And see, just because you've been saved 20 years doesn't mean that you're any more valuable than the one that's been saved one day. Remember, you remember how he had to do that for the workers that, you know, some thought, I've been working for 20 years, that one's been working for an hour, and you give him the same pay as me? God says, I'm the master. Yeah? And so I don't mean to drill that, but you understand, this receiving is really serious. Receive into your life as a part of your life. This is a part of my experience. And he says, but to all who do that, you have been changed. You've got something miraculous going on with you.
All right.
There ain't no way you can do that apart from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Yeah? And so that's a wonderful word. This is a part of us. That should have been children of God, okay? This is a part of becoming children of God. The next thing is that not only is it to believe, but it's also to receive. To receive, we also need to believe. Go back to chapter 1 and look at our verse again. You got chapter 1? Look at verse 12. But to all who did receive, who believed in his name, okay? And you notice what happens. They're the ones, that's the reason it should have been children of God. They're the ones that you see right here. He gave the right to become children of God. So it's the receiving and the believing in his name. So to believe, a name in the Bible, a name is the person. A name is the character of the person, and a name is the authority that comes with the person. So when the Bible says that you must believe in his name, you must believe in the person of Jesus, you must believe in his character, and you must believe in his authority. That's the only way you can be saved. He's Lord. That's his person. His character is as Lord, and he has the authority of Lord. Yes? So that's all a part of the name. Now, here's something that I really, really, really want you to get. This verse says, believe in his name. But in the Bible, if you remember particular verses like Romans 10, you confess with your mouth and believe what? In your heart. Real belief comes from the heart. Right? Now, if you've never seen this verse before, I want you to look. Turn to Romans 6. I want you to understand what real belief from the heart is. Now, remember, what we are learning together is what it means to truly be a child of God. Not in name, but I mean for real. Okay? Did you find Romans 6? I think it's verse 17. Romans 6. And verse 17. Got that? Now, I'm going to read it first, and then I want to unpack it a little bit. But thanks be to God that you were once what? Slaves of sin. Okay? So he's talking about their past condition, which is what? Every one of us here, if you're a Christian now, you were what? Once a slave of sin. You got it? Thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Now, I want you to see in this one verse, we are presented with what it means to believe from the heart. Okay? Number one, you see that word obedient? When you believe from the heart, that means your will has been changed. When you obey God, God changed my will. Willie wanted to do this. God said, Willie, that's wrong. Willie turns. That's called repentance. My will has been changed. I will to go this way. God, and this is literally the way God saved me. I was running in bands, chasing money and all of that. And so God showed me, Willie, if you continue to do this, you're going to die. Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to die. So I changed my will. I no longer had the will, the desire to do that.
Right.
That's called repentance.
Right.
I changed. Okay? Just the opposite of what I didn't just kind of rotate a little bit. I changed totally opposite of the way I was. That's called repentance. Okay? So that's what the word obey. You have become obedient. Now here, from the heart, that means your emotions. God takes my emotions with my will. You see, you don't get saved kicking and screaming. God isn't making anybody be saved. Mm-mm. That's the reason once you're saved, you got joy. Why? My emotions are, this is not just part of me. All of me is saved. And so He not only changed my will, but my emotions. I was compassionate about music and money, and you know, we were recording and all of that. Maybe we wanted to be famous and do that whole thing. But once God changed my will, now my passion is for Him.
Amen.
Uh-huh. And this is really important. Because my emotions are a part of believing from the heart. Now, don't miss this. I didn't say that the heart was all emotion, did I? I'm saying that this is a part of you really believing, okay? And then you notice the last word there, believe, obedient from the heart to the standard of what? Teaching. You cannot be saved apart from your mind. The gospel brings truth to the mind, okay? You see, people think you just get saved by feeling. No, you get saved based on truth. I'm not guessing about who Jesus is. He has convinced me that my will, my emotions, my intellect, everything about me says Jesus is Lord. That's believing. You see, and John says that's how you become a child of God. See? You good so far? And so you just got to get this. You got to get this point. You got to get this principle. Now, can you go back to our verse in John 1? I want to show you one other thing. And I know I'm being deliberate here, but you got to get this. You got verse 12? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, look at this. He gave the right. You've got to be given the right to become a child of God. Just because you say you're a child of God, no way, no how makes you a child of God. God has to give you the right to do that. Just because you drive by a house and say, that's my house, if you don't have the right to it, you're just wasting your time. You can drive by any car lot you want to and look over there, oh, that's my car. You're crazy. You got to be given the right to have that car. You getting this? So you have to be given the right to be a child of God. The word is exousia, all right? It's the same word that you see. You remember Matthew 28 after Jesus was raised from the dead? You remember that? All exousia, all authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's the word. And so it means both ability and authority. God has to give you the ability and the authority to be a child of God. You can't do it on your own. See, this is the reason you can't lose it. When you understand how it happened and who gave it to you, you can't lose it. You didn't get it, and you can't lose it. And it's good. Yeah. That's the reason none of us can boast. Right? For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is what? The gift. And all you got to do is receive it and what? Believe it. This is wonderful. This is the good news. This is the good news. Brother, sister, this is the good news. This is what people need to know. Don't make the gospel convoluted and weird. It's simple, isn't it? Not simplistic, but simple. And so the last thing I want you to see then is that it's God who gives a believer the ability and the authority to become a child of God. All right, we're good? Okay, last thing that I want to look at then is that was the children of God. The last thing then is born of God. And so this is verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So let's look at this. I call this human redemption. All false religions are really human redemption. It's people trying to figure a way to save themselves. You can pick any false religion. They got some kind of work, some kind of scheme worked in it to where eventually they do enough to what? To please God. Okay, that's human redemption is what I'm calling it. And so you notice that what John says here, first of all, is that when it comes to being born of God, it has nothing to do with, verse 13 reads, who were born not of blood. Now, what that means, not of blood, means that it has nothing to do with your bloodline. It's irrelevant who your grandparents were. You know, your grandfather was a preacher, and this one was a deacon, and all those kind of things that people do. God is saying, no, no, no. That has nothing to do with you being born of God, your ancestry, your genealogy. Nothing whatsoever. You did not benefit from that at all. Your grandfather has to stand on his own merits just like you have to stand on yours. Yes? So he says, now, you can't go with that. You know, the Jews thought that was the case. I'm biologically, genealogically, I'm of Abraham. Jesus said, no, you're not. Because if you were of Abraham, you would have received me. Okay? You missed the whole point. It's not about being of Abraham's natural blood. You've got to be spiritually born like Abraham was born, right? So it's not of blood. It has nothing to do with heritage or race. The other thing, you look at the verse. He says, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. What does he mean here? Redemption, then, is not your parents or somebody who want you to be saved. And it happens all the time. Those of us who are parents, you look for every little sign, don't we? Every little sign, just hoping, that's it. And it gets us in a lot of trouble. Because, you know, we take wrong little signs without waiting for God to do the work. See, you don't have to look for little signs when God saves a child. It'll be intuitively obvious to everybody. Wasn't it obvious when he saved you? It'll be obvious when he saves anybody. It doesn't matter the age. Salvation is the same quality regardless of what. You see, this is the wonderful thing. Children don't get saved with a different quality salvation than an adult. It's the same. Eternal life is the same. It doesn't matter what package it's in. Now, they may have a lot more to learn, but that's irrelevant. They have been born again, okay? But it has nothing to do with human desires. And then you see the last one he's got there, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So it also doesn't, it's irrelevant about how determined you are. I'm determined to get this child saved. I'm going to take them to Sunday school every day. They're going to sit here and listen to this preaching. They're going to do this. That determination doesn't make it happen. They're going to sit here in my lessons at home. They're going to go through this and this and this. I'm going to take them through all. Your determination does not guarantee a child is going to be saved. And I keep saying a child, any age. Human determination does not save people. You can look at families where children were raised in the same family, can't you? Jacob and Esau. One is this way, one is totally. One loves God, the other one hates God. Raised the same way. You see, that's what he's getting at. It's not a bloodline, it's not the will of the flesh, it's not the will of man, it's not determination. We got to rule out all of that. That is human redemption. If your child gets saved, thank God for your contribution, but that's all it was. Yeah? This is not your doing. That's what Ephesians says. This is not your doing. It's what? It's a gift. If God saved your child, it's because he gave that to them as a gift. And all we can do is to thank God for it and stop trying to take credit for it. Amen? Because when you acknowledge God did it, then you don't have to be concerned about them losing it. If you did it, you need to be concerned. Right? So you get this point? So that's then, when you look at being born of God, he spends the majority of the verse saying what it's not. And then finally, he says what it is. And so you got the verse again? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Yes? And so what does this mean? But of God means that they were actually born of God. They were not born, you see how he said it before. You're not born of blood, you're not born of the will of the flesh, you're not born of the will of man, but you were born, what? Of God. And so when we look at this truth, I want to just unpack it this way. True redemption, or if you will, true conversion is divine. It comes from God. True conversion is divine. It's godly. It's holy. And that's the reason I say it doesn't matter what package it's in. Whether it's an 8-year-old or an 80-year-old, it's God coming down and doing a miraculous work. Yes, it's divine. True conversion, you accept the fact that God initiates it. But the Bible says that none of us were seeking God, and everyone in here would be honest. I know, and you weren't either. None of us was, even if you were in church and unsaved, you weren't seeking God. You were at church. I don't know what you might have enjoyed reading your Bible. But until God initiates salvation, he's the one that gives you both the desire and the power, right? And so God initiated. Also, true redemption requires supernatural power. You, a sinner, cannot be saved apart from a power outside themselves. God has to bring this power into their lives. True redemption is not limited by race or gender. That's the reason the verse says, but to all. That's how we got in. We are part of that but to all who received, all to who believed. Amen? And then I'm so thankful that true redemption is not restricted by past sins. I've done awful things. Things that I've never talked to any of y'all about. And I will never talk to any of y'all about. And I'm sure you've got things. The Bible says that there's some things that we should never talk about. Yeah? It's just a fact. Some things so shameful, they should never be brought up in Christian conversation. But what I am thankful about is that those sins can't keep you out of glory. True redemption is not restricted by how bad our past is or was. And then finally, and I love this, true redemption is always effective. God never misses. When just because he didn't work at the time you thought he would, and the way you thought it would, trust me, God never, never, never misses. Jesus said, of all those that the Father has given to me, what? I've lost none of them. Trust me. Everybody that's supposed to be in heaven, you know what? They will be there. Because divine redemption never fails. It's always, always, always effective. Thank God for that. So then, my brothers and sisters, everybody in here that's a Christian, I want you to think about this. You have already received Jesus. You've already included him in your life as divine authority. If you are a Christian, yes? If you are a Christian, you have already believed from your heart. You've already believed with your will, with your emotions and your intellect. You had to do that in order to become a Christian. You already know that redemption has nothing to do with your bloodline. Redemption has nothing to do with anyone else's desire, anyone else's determination to see you saved. Regardless of how long they prayed for you. I mean, thank God that people prayed for you, prayed for me. But the credit does not go to that prayer. The credit does not go to anyone. The Bible is clear. No one can boast about your salvation. It's all grace through faith. Yes? And so if you're a Christian, you already know these things. You know that God is the author of your salvation. You know that the Holy Spirit changed you from the inside with supernatural power. Thank God for that. You know that all your sins have been forgiven if you are a Christian. You know that you are a child of God. And you know that you've been born of God, and absolutely nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But if you're not a Christian, then you have not received. You've not received Jesus. You've not received this truth, regardless of how long you've been in church. If you're not a Christian, you've not believed. Let me say it another way. If you've not received him the way we just discussed and believed, you're not a Christian. Yes? These verses describe what true redemption is. If you have not been born of God, you are not a Christian. But it doesn't have to be that way. Today, Jesus, the Bible says, in the day that you hear my voice, what? Do not harden your heart. And if you're here today and you know that those realities of redemption are not true of you, you can change that. You ask God to work in you right now, to give you a heart to receive, give you a heart to believe in. Ask God to give you, to make you new from the inside. Ask God to give you the desire to love him, the desire to read your Bible, the desire to obey him. Ask him, and he'll do it for you. He'll forgive your sins, and he'll make you clean, and he'll make you holy, and you will love him for it. Father, thank you for these few minutes that we spent together in your presence, and thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, and every way that you you love us and you're faithful to us. Thank you for the great grace that has been worked out in our lives for us to be children of God. Thank you for the mighty power that you brought into our lives that we might be born of God. And Lord, I pray now for someone to actually receive Jesus today. For someone to actually believe in him today. I pray for someone to actually be born of God today. Would you do it for your glory? For the good of the kingdom and actually the edifying of our own souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's bow together for just a few minutes and then we'll see if there are any comments. Thank you.
gentle.